The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Rick Fries from Des Moines, Iowa. I just finished running the Tower of Terror 10-miler, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 216 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. In this show, Michelle and I, along with Christopher Smith, continue with our review of the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror race weekend. And we'll pick it up right at the end of Thursday and find out what happened Friday.
Say hi, Jeff Galloway. But I was very, very happy with myself that I did not buy a sweaty band. I got out of the expo without buying anything until...
However, then there was the next day, which was Friday.
I don't know what it was. I think it was because, I mean, I have never been anybody who's interested in the Run Disney shoes. I just... didn't think I would ever get sucked into the, but I did. And I think I'm going to blame two people. I'm going to blame our two buddies, Stan Harris and Eddie McCoy, because they out in Disneyland bought Goofy shoes. And I was like, those look really nice. And again, I would never stand in line to do it, but I saw that there weren't a lot of people. And I ended up going the next day, walking right up, and I spent my $125 on my Goofy shoes.
Michelle, why don't you tell our listeners, those who will be, you know, going to a race weekend for the very first time, be it California, be it in January, or be it Wine and Dine, how the process works for New Balance.
Okay, so what you do is you go on to New Balance and you go into their virtual queue. So you say what size you want and what type of shoe you want. And it will actually, there's a button there that tells you the inventory right now. So it will tell you if your shoes are available. When it's time for you to go, then you get a text message saying you're up and this is when you need to go and get your shoe. What happened to me was I decided to do it and then I was in a place, I don't remember if we were touring the parks. I just didn't want to go back that afternoon. So we ended up going back the next day. I dragged Mike there. He was rolling his eyes the entire time. And and yes, you were, because Mike will never, ever buy the Run Disney shoes. And then I went up to somebody. I said, look, I had a appointment, but I didn't make it. And he said, well, they're not taking appointments at now. What do you want? And I told him. He said, oh, yeah, we got plenty of those. So he was surprised. This particular person was surprised that I wanted Goofy as a woman, because they're men's shoes. But I thought that was interesting. But because, you know, plenty of women run Goofy. But he said, no, you want Cinderella. I'm like, no, I don't want Cinderella. I want Goofy. But anyway, I like them. They're styling. They match everything.
Michelle, on the app, when you did this online, mm-hmm. when you went to the app and, you know, you did all the stuff about the you had to ask what style
and what size.
And what size. Did they give you a list of banks that you could take out the secondary mortgage to pay for the shoes?
Very funny. Now, Chris, do you have any?
I don't, but last that marathon weekend, I bought some for friends, but I did not buy any. I don't own any myself.
And will you?
No, I don't think so. It's it's a lot of money, the color schemes, I don't know, the styles don't really appeal to me.
I'm definitely not going to run in them, but I did notice... on the Tower of Terror race that there were a lot of people running in their Run Disney shoes.
Was anybody running in the New Balance Disney shoes that they just bought and the Tower of Terror shirt? That would have been funny.
All right. So on to the next thing. Right. Anything, Chris, other things you want to say about the expo? Or?
No, I think that's. I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay. So the next morning was the Happy Haunted 5K, and none of us on the show today did that, but we do have some friends who did it. And Chris, did you get any reports that you heard of?
Nothing that stood out, no.
Mike?
Well, one of the things that I heard was that the Headless Horseman was the big deal for that particular race, and that the Headless Horseman made an appearance. I'm not sure exactly how that took place, but everyone who we talked to who had run the race said that they were really excited about the Headless Horseman, and we were a little disappointed because we had gone to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party the night before, and it had rained just enough, but it stopped, but it had rained just enough so that HH could not, you know, walk down.
Close with the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, because it's kind of slippery and they don't want the horse to fall, so good for everybody who ran the.
Yeah, and I think that's an appeal for you for that. You and I have never done that race before, and that's an appeal of that race because in the past,
Disney wants us to run that.
People have reported the Headless Horseman's there. We'll see if we ever get a chance to do it. We'll talk about that later. But I think the big thing for that race that I heard was, two things. Number one, that the weather was terrible, that it was rainy and humid, you know, for a 5K, it was absolutely fine, but it was not the best weather. And that most of the race was really on the trail, and it was a little, not like outrageously muddy, but, you know, slippery in some spots. But the metal was fabulous. The metal was really cool. And everybody that I talked to seemed to have a great time running.
Was that a real metal? Was it a real metal?
It was. I think it was a glow-in-the-dark metal, but it was not... it was one of the rubber medals. So, but it was great. All right, and then the kids' races went off. We weren't there for that, but someday we'll have to go do those.
You know, I wanted to mention I didn't have anyone participating, but I had no park tickets for this trip, so I had some time to kill on Saturday. So I stopped by just to see what the kids' races were all about.
Oh, cool!
And so I was cheering for a little bit for some of the kids, and it was just. Such a great vibe, so much energy there with the kids so proud to have their medals and the parents proud of their kids. Even if you don't have kids, especially if you do, just stopping by to check it out and cheering for them, making it feel as special to them as we feel when we're racing the quote unquote big races. I think that's really neat. So I would encourage folks to check that out.
That's cool. Did you get to see Carissa there?
I heard her. I didn't see her though.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's good. I definitely want to try to do it. It seems like we're always running around, but I want to try to do it. All right, so now on to the Tower of Terror 10-miler.
On to the Tower of Terror. Now, Chris, were you staying on the property or?
No, I was staying off property, and so I debated a little bit how I was going to get there because there's no parking available at Hollywood Studios. Right. So I would have had to park at the Wide World of Sports, take a shuttle over to the studios, and then at the end of the night, because I was planning on staying at the after party quite late, take another shuttle back to the Wide World of Sports. So I decided ultimately to scrap that, and I took a taxi, actually Uber for the first time, which sort of works like a taxi. I took that to the boardwalk. And then walked along that river path there up to Hollywood Studios, and that worked great.
Yeah, that was. I think you were asking about that on the Mickey Milers, and trying to get ideas about what to do. And I think that was one of the things I suggested. So yay!
Yay! Thank you.
Uber's great. Yeah, that's neat. Cool. So that worked out okay. And Mike and I were staying at a resort hotel that was one of the hotels. That had buses for the race.
Host hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we started lining up for the buses sometime around 7 o'clock, I believe.
I think we got there at 6:45. We got there a little early.
6:45, ran into a couple of listeners and people who we had.
We ran into Mike Rahman.
Mike Rahman?
Yep.
No. It was Mike Rahman.
Was that later?
Wasn't at the bus stop.
Oh, okay. He was on the bus, maybe. Okay.
Yeah. And got on the bus, and the bus dropped us off way on the other side of where the gathering area was, and we walked over there, and we started meeting friends and Mickey Milers, and we had some photo opportunities, and it was pretty nice. It wasn't too crowded. The only thing is that, and I think I speak for everyone, you can never have enough porta-potties.
Oh my gosh, the bathroom lines I thought were just absolutely outrageous. Longer than I've ever seen. It was, I don't even know how many people in every line. It was just, it seemed like there were plenty of bathrooms, but really, I think I waited in line for the bathroom for 20, 25 minutes.
Here's where I put on my race director hat. And I'm thinking that since Wine and Dine is right around the corner, why not have us all start at Epcot? Sure, there's a little bit of adjustment they would have to make for the special effects, but we can still finish at Tower of Terror, and we can still finish at the studios. And if you allow us to do that, then we can park at the studios, because we're not have to worry about gathering area there. We can still park at the studios so that when we finish, we can take our cars or we can take a shuttle back to Epcot. I really think that it would be better if we could do that. I just, I don't know.
So, Chris, what did you think about the holding area there?
Yeah, it... I agree. It seems like at every race, nearly every race, you talk to people, and one of the biggest complaints is the lines for the porta potties. So I always try to go as early as possible, and then I know that Disney usually has pretty good support. So if I know that if I'm in a place where I can wait for 2 or 3 miles into the race, that there isn't going to be much of a line at all down the road. But yeah, that's my only solution as a participant at this point.
So in addition to porta-potties, there were food trucks there. There was a DJ there. Seemed to be a nice, relaxed atmosphere. But the big news of the night was the weather. And I can't tell you how many people told us, people who had been in Florida for a week before, that we got the best night.
The
best weekend in weeks and weeks. That it had rained the whole week before. It was absolutely perfect temperature. I would say about 70 degrees. And there was a breeze to be had here and there. And Mike, you and I did something that we haven't done before, which is we stayed outside of the corrals for a very long time. Like I wouldn't say we were one of the last people in the corrals, but usually we're hightailing it to the corrals.
It's in my top five of things I don't like about Run Disney races. I really don't like standing still waiting to go.
Because you're standing basically in one spot.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't bother that. I remember the longest I had ever stood, I stood like maybe 45 minutes one time waiting for the Princess Half Marathon to get going. I just hated that. So it didn't bother me. I mean, I don't know if I do it all the time. I like the idea, although they didn't do it for this race, that in January they call the corrals. And I don't think they just call for everybody for this one. But, you know, when you talk about the corrals, we have to talk about the corral release. And I thought that the corral release was very, very well done. We talked with Rudy about that and how they try to get things going as quickly as possible. Chris, what were your observations when you were going into the corrals?
Yeah, I think I might have just gone to the corrals a tiny bit before you two, because I was chatting, and you know, one of the great things about Run Disney events is meeting friends that you, for the first time, folks that you've seen at other events, and I got to talking with people. The next thing I knew, the group that I was planning on running with had already gone for the corrals without me. So I headed over toward the corrals, and I was surprised how many, it was still about half an hour before the race was supposed to start. And they were really, everyone was standing and jammed up toward the front, you know, really ready to go with quite a bit of standing around time to go. So I ended up at the back of a corral with sort of trying to find people that I knew. And normally I see people that are, you know, people more sitting down in the corrals and resting. And there didn't seem to be an opportunity to do that, at least not that day.
No, I sat down.
Did you have room?
I made room. You know, I think we were sort of in the middle of our corral. So one of the cool things about this race, I mean, pretty much any Run Disney event, but especially this race, I think, is the costumes. So I was really interested. We were near about 20 people dressed like skeletons who were kind of trying to take selfies. It was a little tough with all the crowd there. But I just want to give a shout out to Kimberly Torres Markey and Gail Savage. Thank you. So anyway, Kim and Gail were dressed up like in the stretching room at the Haunted Mansion, the lady on top of the alligator and the old lady with the husband with the chopped off head. So it was really, really cool. But the best part of that was when Mike was trying to guess who Kim was and said, Mary Poppins. So, but the costumes were just really, really amazing. So let's talk about the race start was the way it normally is. There were fireworks for every corral, and the corrals went back to, I don't know what they went back to, Jay?
I'm going to say Jay.
Yeah,
Jay.
Maybe Jay.
And there's a long walk from the corrals to the start line in this race.
It was quite long. You're right. Yeah. It seemed like we were never going to get there. So, Mike, where was the start? I'm so bad about, like, figuring out where the heck we are. I'm walking like a lemming. I just follow the crowd.
So the start, if you're looking on a map, the start for the race was at the main entrance to the studios. And the main entrance to Disney's Hollywood Studios is actually a little bit southwest of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. And so a lot of people may not be familiar with that. We're all familiar with coming in right near where the beach club is and off of Buena Vista Drive, but that's the back way. So this is the front way. And I think what the reason for that is that it offers the widest course exit, you might say. So that was why they chose this.
Hmm. And so, Chris, what was your impression of the entertainment? It was a little different than our experience the year before. What did you think?
You mean on the course or before the start?
On the course.
Oh, I was surprised how much there was. I had signed up for this again with just the excitement of the idea of running with friends again. And I really kind of dreaded the course itself because you spend so much time on the highways and the only park you're really in is Hollywood Studios, only at the very, very end. You run all the way up to Animal Kingdom and you can almost get there and then you turn right around and run away from it. So
ESPN if you want to count that a quote unquote park, I guess.
you could count that if you're being generous, I suppose. But I was very pleasantly surprised. I stopped at every character on the way, and there were quite some miles had two or three different characters just in the span of a mile. So I was pretty happy with how many different characters there were along the course.
What were some of your favorites?
I like the Queen of Hearts. She was kind of funny. Toward the end, there was Hades standing on top of the overpass where the Disney Hollywood Studios sign is. And he was sort of taunting runners in a joking sort of way down below. He was mic'd up. There was the Gravediggers are a real popular one. The Hag, is that her name, that holds the apple for...
The evil... witch from Snow White.
Yeah. So she was there holding her apple out, and people could pose for funny pictures there. So a lot of great characters, I thought.
That's great. One of the things that I missed this year that I really enjoyed last year was there was a kind of a holding pond area that we ran around twice, and there was a giant eyeball in the middle of it. Last year there was a huge flame shooter thing that went up probably 30 feet in the air. It felt like you were in the scene with the Wizard of Oz with the flame shooting. So I missed that. But Mike, your impression was that there maybe was a little bit less entertainment than the year before?
Again, my race director hat's going on. What I would have liked to have seen, and I've done this race, well, this is the... This is the third, but I actually ran four because there was a 13K before the Tower of Terror. Now, here is some of the things that I would have liked to have seen. I think the flamethrower that you said, and I think it was like close to 100 feet in the air, Michelle. The other thing is that I was looking forward, I remember talking to you just before we went into the stadium, said, oh boy, I'm looking forward to this. And Chris, you didn't run it last year, but last year they had, Michelle, what was the name of that machine?
Oh, the Van de Graaff generator?
Yeah, the Van de Graaff mm-hmm. generator in the middle of the diamond.
Or a Tesla coil, I don't remember.
It might have been a Tesla coil, and it looks like this something from another world, and it had zapped all the players, and of course all the uniforms were lying on the ground. This year they just had a laser beam emanating from the press box. But what I would have liked to have seen, number one, more music. There was very little music. I think having something in between each mile marker would be great. And I also think that the mile marker should be better. And every mile marker should have a character. 10 characters. 10 characters, that's all I'm asking for. I think that would be really good. I think that the price of the race and the time of the race and where they have it's all on property, of course. I think that it really would have given more to the theme. Last year was, to me, it was a little bit more entertainment than this year.
One thing I noticed that wasn't, another thing that wasn't there from last year is, Chris, do you remember the part towards the end? Maybe it was like mile, I don't know, 7 or 8 that we were running and there were lasers above us and there was kind of like a mist.
Yeah.
Well, last year there was Twilight Zone music in that, like really loud Twilight Zone music. So I remember running with Mike saying, "Where's the music? Where's the music?" But I don't know. I talked to Eve Vanderpool, our friend. This is her favorite race and her favorite course. She really likes the course on this. I still really, really enjoy this, even though I thought the entertainment was just a little bit off this year, and I really was hoping for the flamethrower because it was just sort of a stop in the tracks type of a moment. But I don't know. The volunteers were absolutely fantastic.
They always are.
Yeah. At the end, you got your cool medal, and they had something that they started a few races ago, which is to give you these cold, wet towels at the end, which is fantastic. And you're finishing right next to the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. The walk from the end of the race. Well, Chris, why don't you tell about that?
Yeah, that's a long walk. I wanted to backtrack just real quick because you didn't mention the trail portion, which some people are nervous. I know that's one of Mike's favorite parts. Some people are nervous about that. And I wasn't really – I hate running on trails. Around here, that means a lot of gnarled roots and things to trip on, and I can get hurt just running on a flat surface in a straight line. So I like to avoid that at all if I can. And so I was a little nervous and apprehensive about the trail. And what I found was it wasn't so bad in terms of the surface, but it was very well lit, I thought. Well, at least better lit than I expected. I think
it was better this year than past years.
I never felt like I needed a flashlight or any external lighting. But it was very narrow, and people who are walking 2 or even 3 abreast block the entire path in parts. So I think you have to kind of prepare yourself in that stretch to just kind of go with the flow and not try to fight it.
One of the things that was on that path this year that I didn't notice last year was insects, pretend gigantic insects hanging from the top of the tree, which I thought was cool. But Mike, does it seem like that path had fewer, less gravel on it? I mean, we still took our time on that. It seemed to be better lit and there was less gravel.
One of the problems is no matter how much you roll it and you press it down, if you have hundreds of feet going over it, it's going to loosen it up. And if you're in the middle or the back of the pack like me, you're going to see a lot of rocks. So I didn't see any difference from last year. If I was in Corral A or B, I might have said, yeah, you know, this is a little bit better. But when you're in Corral, whatever, D or E, whatever we were in, I think that you're always going to see it the same. So, I mean, as far as well lit, I still had to use my light. I mean, as those of us who have had injuries, knees or ankles, are a little concerned about running on something other than a flat surface at night in the dark. So a lot of us have problems with that.
Okay, so race finish, very, very, very long walk out. We were kind of walking around the Tower of Terror, kind of up through the Phantasmic kind of in that area.
Yeah. I forget the name of that. Theater of the Stars.
I heard, we're going up a kind of a steep hill, and I heard people going, "Oh, you're kidding me. Oh no." Volunteers were great. The snack pack was I don't know. It seems to be better. And I had to go get my bag, and it was in the same place that kind of cut us through the entrance of Hollywood Studios backstage towards the Indiana Jones stage. You actually, that's where all the bags were, and that went very quickly. All right, so let's talk about the after party. Chris, we've been talking about this for quite a while. So quickly, what were your impressions of the after party? We got to see you.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't see any characters personally. I saw characters. I didn't take any pictures with characters. I understand a complaint a lot of people had was it seemed like they were wrapping up pretty early. We went to a bunch of us rode a few rides, but they closed the rides before the park closed. Some of the rides closed at 3, others closed at 3:30, and the park was supposed to be open until 4. So I was a little disappointed at that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting. Wow, okay. They're trying to get people out so they could do some cleaning, maybe.
I think so.
And we hung out with a whole bunch of people in, what is that called? Backlot Express, Mike?
Backlot Express. And then we went over to Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was a festive atmosphere. I think by about 2:30, I was ready to call it a night. But I know Chris and a whole bunch of other people were able to stay up a little bit longer than us. And but it was really fun. I really enjoy that after party very much. So before we wrap it up, when we returned home, Run Disney released their new running schedule for the whole year, because I think one of the things that they maybe have listened to runners' requests is the request is that they put out the whole schedule for the whole year so people can pick and choose and not sign up for a race and then find out there's another cool race coming that they would have rather have done. So, Mike, what was the big surprise? Two big surprises on this.
Well, the big surprise when the announcement was made, and I actually asked a Run Disney person at the expo, I said, so what's going on with Everest? I don't see it listed, and we're like really close. So, well, you'll see the new calendar coming out. And he said it would be out to May 2016. So I thought, this should be interesting. And sure enough, it was, because Everest did show up, but the Tower of Terror did not. Mm-hmm. So as far as 2015 goes, there will be no Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10 miler. However, there will be an Expedition Everest race.
Chris, what do you think about that?
Well, I was disappointed. I guess they wouldn't have announced a Star Wars race for the for Walt Disney World through that little calendar tweet or whatever they sent out. I was hoping Expedition Everest would go away so that it would be a natural place to slot in an East Coast Star Wars race to tie in with Star Wars weekend. So I was disappointed at that. So there's some speculation that Tower of Terror is not being offered, is being suspended because of the construction that'll be happening at Hollywood Studios. But if that were the case, wouldn't that equally affect Wine and Dine? It runs through at least as much of the park, if not more, than Tower of Terror does.
Good point.
Well, I think, and that was a thought too, Chris. I think that one of the things they can do is, you have to remember that there will be the Tower of Terror race has, it's the gathering area. It's the starting area. It's the finish area. It's the after party area. So you have to take all those into consideration. And when you talk about Wine and Dine, it's true. We do run through the studios, but they can adjust that course so that we don't have to run through the areas that would be refurbished. I have run through that that park before Lights, Motor, Action was there. So, and I know they can adjust it here and there. So my guess is that they may have considered that too, but I think that Wine and Dine generates so much revenue, speaking to that point, I'm sure that the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror generates more revenue than Expedition Everest, but I also think that it probably costs more because it's outside, whereas Expedition Everest, it's all inside the park, and they don't have to worry about bringing people outside and doing a whole bunch of things. So, I mean, I think that what you said is correct. I think that there are some plans to do some changes within the studio. I think there's another podcast that may direct questions about that. But, we'll see what happens. We'll just see, and we'll just do it whatever we can for the next calendar.
All right.
Okay. So, Chris, did you want to add anything else before we wrap this up?
No, I mean, I'm disappointed for folks that wanted to run this next year and it won't be available to them. But it's, you know, for me, Run Disney events are all about the folks that you'll meet there and the characters that you'll see on the course and lots of other opportunities to do that.
Yeah, well, Chris, we want to thank you for taking the time to give your perspective on the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-miler for 2014. And we look forward to seeing you in some upcoming race. What's your next race?
Wine and Dine. I'll be there.
Wine and Dine. We won't. we'll be at some place west of there. So Michelle, you have anything else?
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much.
So for Christopher Smith, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. This special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.